This is Clayton for Podcast Radio Business. We're joined by Duncan Goose, founder of One Water and the One Foundation. We're here to discuss tackling the global water crisis. Thank you for joining us, Duncan.
Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. So, Duncan, please tell us more about your role at One Water and the One Foundation.
Yeah, so One Water is a bottled water brand that's produced in the UK in a number of different formats. And we give away money from that to a corporate foundation that I set up called the One Foundation. And that then uses that money to invest in water programs in developing countries, currently in four particular countries, Ghana, Kenya, Rwanda, and Malawi.
With over 1.8 billion people predicted to face absolute water scarcity by 2025, obviously, your work with One Water and the One Foundation is incredibly important and has been pivotal in addressing the crisis. Can you share with us the inspiration behind starting these initiatives?
Well, it was a combination of two things, I suppose. The first one was that I spent a couple of years motorbiking around the world between 1998 and 2000. And amongst that, or on that journey, all sorts of crazy things happened. But the most significant, I suppose, was that I lived through a Category 5 hurricane that killed 10,000 people and did $6 billion worth of damage. And I got to experience firsthand what it was like to live in a disaster zone, and particularly one that had no access to clean water. So that was a sort of personal experience. And when I came back from that trip, I went back into advertising and marketing, which was the career that I always had. And a couple of years into that, there was a photograph published in the Guardian newspaper on the day that Saddam Hussein was captured. And it was of a young girl sat by a padlocked tap in Kibera, Nairobi. And it said there were four taps for 600,000 people. And most people had to access water from illegal water vendors. And I suppose the combination of the personal experience is linked to what I'd seen in the news led me to discover that at that time there were 1 billion people living in the world without access to clean water. And that became the ethos for the brand, which was that you can't change 1 billion people's lives, but if you change one life one day at a time, then that's the definition of progress.
The global water crisis is a pressing issue affecting millions worldwide. How did your experience in witnessing the aftermath of Hurricane Mitch, which is obviously the hurricane that you were involved in Honduras, influence your decision to take action through One Water?
I think it was a combination of things. As I said, my background was in advertising and marketing. So I'd spent many years working with lots of brands, everything from beer brands like Heineken to whiskey brands like White & Mackay to Avis Car Rental, Fidelity Investments, and so on and so forth. So I'd always been interested in brands and the power of those brands to connect with consumers. And back in those days, nobody really established what even CSR was, let alone what a brand with purpose was. And I got really interested in the idea that you could present consumers with a choice, which is brand A or brand B. And if brand A made money for shareholders and brand B changed somebody's life, then all things being equal in terms of price and product, pretty much most people would go for brand B and try and change somebody's life. And that was the real kind of ethos behind it. And so it proved.
How have you and how are you helping people through One Water and the One Water Foundation? How does it work?
So the money that we get from the sales of bottled water through our own brand and in partnership with other people goes to a number of different NGOs in different countries, depending on the kind of work that we're doing. And we use that money to do really a couple of different things, one of which is that the traditional drilling of boreholes, putting in hand pumps, those sort of things that most people would know and understand is kind of starting to be quite dated in terms of technology. It still has a real role to play, in particularly in rural communities. But the problem is that those things tend to fail because they don't have the spare parts or they don't have the know-how to do it. So we invest a lot of time and energy in going and repairing boreholes that have fallen into disrepair. And it's much more cost-effective to do that. So typically, putting one in the ground would cost you maybe $10,000, and to go and repair one would cost you less than $1,000. So we really kind of try and focus on doing some of that. And the other part of what we do is to put in big systems. And when I'm talking about systems, I'm talking about pumping stations, solar powered pumping stations, generators, and putting in pipelines and infrastructure. So we can actually get water through piped networks into communities, into health centers and schools, and ultimately into people's homes. So we do that in partnership with a number of different NGOs, depending on where we are in the world.
In addition to your work at One Water and the One Water Foundation, you mentioned a few times about your role as a marketing executive. Can you explain what your journey from being a marketing executive to effectively a social entrepreneur? That's quite a remarkable one and quite a unique one. What were some of the biggest challenges you faced when you were transitioning into this role? Because the marketing role, we assume, is, you know, you sell, sell, sell. And whereas the social responsible entrepreneur has got a slightly different task ahead of them.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting point. And the world has changed significantly since I first started. So to go back to those sort of very early days, the term social entrepreneur didn't exist. So you were either a charity or you were an entrepreneur. And if you're an entrepreneur, you can get money from investors and private equity and things like that. And if you're a charity, you can get donations. And unfortunately, we fell back then between the two. So the private equity and investors weren't interested in putting money into a brand that was then going to give it away. And the charity people weren't interested in giving a donation to a business that was trying to effectively make money to give it away. So it was very, very difficult in the early days to try and convince anybody to partner with us and do that. And that's, you know, the world has changed today. It's much, much easier to sit in the middle and get social investment for brands. But so back in those days, I just remortgaged my flat and used all the money from that and put that into the business and got on with it. I think what probably drove me most was having, you know, a vision and a personal mission to create change. And as I said earlier, the fact is that when you're trying to change one person's life one day at a time, then that's always a definition of success, because you get out of bed and you try and change somebody else's life. And really, it's just putting one foot in front of the other and keep going. And now today, you know, we've changed over 5 million people's lives. So, you know, from those sort of very early days of just trying to change one to change 5 million, I think is quite incredible.
And you should truly applaud yourself and your colleagues for that achievement. But you've also reached another milestone of 30 million. Could you explain to our podcast radio business listeners what that's about?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I suppose for entrepreneurs, you know, when you say you've given away 30 million quid, the entrepreneurs go, wow, that's amazing, because it's like, you know, that's a load of money, pardon my French. But for us, it's more the definition of how many people you've helped, because that was what we set out to do. So the money is always easy to understand, because, you know, people can relate to it in a much easier way than perhaps they can relate to changing some child's life in Malawi or Kenya or Rwanda. But the, you know, the mission for us was always about changing people's lives. And that's what we've done. And we've kept going. And particularly through, you know, a couple of global recessions as well. It's like, you know, we just get out of bed and we'll have another go and we'll do another day and we'll change some more lives and we'll keep going. So that's the biggest part of the journey for me, I think, is changing people's lives.
There are a lot of climate-related, weather-related situations that are happening in the world right now. And a lot of climate-related disasters like floods and droughts, they exacerbate water scarcity issues around the globe. How does One Water collaborate with partners to try and implement sustainable solutions in regions that are affected by these type of disasters?
So this is a really great point. And I think it's probably the most relevant to the world that we live in today. And people won't know this, I'm sure, but 90% of all the world's natural disasters are water related in some way. 90%. And there is either too much water, so you're getting flooding, As we're seeing in Southeast Asia at the moment, there's not enough water. So you're getting drought, which is what we're seeing in the Horn of Africa. So 40 million people in the Horn of Africa are struggling because they've had the worst drought for 40 years. Or there is water, but it's contaminated with some waterborne diseases. So if you look at Haiti and the news coming out of Haiti at the moment, it's cholera outbreaks, which is specifically related to water diseases. So really, all of these things are connected to climate change. You know, here in the UK, you know, we see flooding every year. We see houses underwater. We see the burst riverbanks. You know, we see in the summertime the heat waves that hit southern Europe, you know, whether that's in Spain or Greece, and the death toll rising and literally the countryside going up in flames. And we look to Bangladesh and we see what's going on over there. So the world is changing. And the challenge, I think, for most people and particularly for governments, is how to react to that. How do you build resilience into all of the water strategies that countries have? So if you don't have enough, how do you get it? If you have too much, how do you prevent that from destroying farmland or villages and communities and things like that? And I think that the world is very slowly waking up to the reality of, you know, this is not going away. This is just going to increase. And therefore, any kind of strategy that you're putting in place, whether it's us doing very small scale community level work, you have to ask the questions about, well, what happens if there's not enough water? Because that borehole will dry out. Or what happens if there's too much water? Because that borehole will flood. And then when it floods and it gets contaminated from latrines, you get cholera and so on and so forth. So it's a really changing world, and it's something that everybody's having to face into.
One of the great innovations that you've done at One Water and One Water Foundation is the approach of combining product sales with donations to support water projects. How do you ensure transparency and accountability in utilizing these funds to make this maximum impact? Because it's a pretty difficult juggling act between those two sort of disparate areas.
Yeah, and it's exactly why we set up the organization in the way that we did. So there's a commercial business and then there's a corporate foundation, and the two are separate. They're separate legal entities, and the board of the foundation determines how the money is spent. So although I sit on the board, I don't get access to the checkbook, shall we say. You know, I may have a view on, I think we should do this or I should do that, but I am only one vote out of five. So my vote is never gonna be the bit that tips over the balance. But I think where it's really interesting is that, you know, we've been doing a lot of different things over the years, and not everything has worked. You know, we've learned a lot as we've gone. But now we sit as part of a much wider global funders network. And so we are sharing those learning experiences with other people and you know, where they've gone right, wrong, and what they've done. So there's always best practice out there to do that. And I think the board is absolutely integral in helping us make those decisions. And although I can't share the name of the person, we're about to be joined by a new executive director of the foundation who is globally recognized as one of the leaders in his field and has been for decades. And I think the insight that he will bring to our next phase of work will be absolutely fascinating. So we can't wait to have him on board.
Right. That looks like something to look forward to. So looking ahead, and with that in mind, what are your aspirations for the future of One Water and the One Foundation? And how do you plan to continue making that difference one person at a time in the global fight against water scarcity?
So I think on the one hand, you could have a very low benchmark, which is to say it's one person one day at a time, and we'll keep doing that. We'll sell enough water to make sure that happens every single day. But the reality is we change hundreds of thousands of people's lives a year. And then the question is just one of scale. So how do you convince more people to stock us, to support us, to get on board? And, you know, this month, and in fact, ironically, as I was mentioning, just as we started, we've just moved offices, and the new office that we've just moved into is called Goodwin House. And I'm like, well, that's perfect, because everything that we're doing from here on is just going to be a good win. And so that's the kind of mantra of the team. You know, we come in here and it's going to be a good win for the business and for the foundation. And you know, we've just in the last couple of weeks, we've picked up two big national UK retailers. And we're very much looking forward to working with them going forwards. We've picked up lots of business in what's called the at-home sector. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much going on at the moment. And I think we're very fortunate that the brand has had at least a decade's worth of getting its house in order. You know, we were carbon neutral a decade ago. We were using 100% recycled plastics a decade ago. We founded the B Corp movement in the UK over a decade ago. We're globally rated as one of the top 5% of all B Corps, and so on and so forth. So for us, it's about scale. And again, you know, hopefully in May this year, we'll have some more news that we can share potentially around some of those things as well. So we're just going to keep going for it and keep scaling and keep trying.
Well, it looks like there are some very exciting times ahead. And I'd like to know, where can our podcast radio business listeners go to for more information?
If they go to onewater.org.uk, that's the best place.
Brilliant. So Duncan Goose, founder of One Water and the One Foundation, thank you for joining us on Podcast Radio Business.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.